Welcome to the Banner of Truth broadcast. This program is brought to you by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. Your host is Pastor Jack Schumann, pastor of the Emmanuel Free Reformed Church of Abbotsford, British Columbia. And now, here is Pastor Jack Schumann.
Let us turn to the Holy Scriptures, to the prophecy of Daniel chapter 5. Hear the word of God. Belshazzar the king made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords, and drank wine in the presence of 1,000. While he tasted the wine, Belshazzar gave the command to bring the gold and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple, which had been in Jerusalem, that the king and his lords, his wives, and his concubines might drink from them. Then they brought the gold vessels that had been taken from the temple of the house of God, which had been in Jerusalem. And the king and his lords, his wives, and his concubines drank from them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze and iron, wood and stone. In the same hour the fingers of a man's hand appeared and wrote opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his hips were loosened, and his knees knocked against each other. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. The king spoke, saying to the wise men of Babylon, "Whoever reads this writing and tells me its interpretation shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around his neck, and he shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Now all the king's wise men came, but they could not read the writing or make known to the king its interpretation. Then King Belshazzar was greatly troubled. His countenance was changed, and his lords were astonished. Now we skip down to verse 25. And this is the inscription that was written: Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of each word. Mene: God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. Tekel: you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Peres: your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and Persians. This ends the reading of Holy Scripture. May the Lord bless the reading and preaching of His Word to our hearts today. Dear friends, have you ever been evaluated by someone? I trust most of us here have been evaluated at one point or another. Students are evaluated by their teachers and professors, and sometimes professors are evaluated by their students. Employees are evaluated by their employers. Church members are evaluated to a certain extent when the elders come to their home for visits. And although not always pleasant, evaluations are an important and necessary part of life. They indicate our strengths as well as our weaknesses and suggest ways in which we can improve. But what if you were evaluated by God? How would He evaluate you as we approach the end of the year 2019? What would He say about you? What would He say were your strengths and your weaknesses, your failures and your successes? What would He find if He weighed you in the balance? Several thousand years ago, there was a king who was evaluated by God. His name was Belshazzar, king of Babylon. Belshazzar was the grandson of King Nebuchadnezzar, who besieged the city of Jerusalem and destroyed the temple of Solomon and took most of the population of Judah captive to Babylon. One night, while he was partying with his friends and nobles, a strange sight appeared. It was a hand, and the hand wrote something on the wall, and it was four words: Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. Well, what did these words mean? And what message is there here for us, especially as we come to the end of another year? Well, let's find out as we meditate on this portion of the Word of God together. My theme is Belshazzar evaluated by God. We'll consider, first of all, the shocking reason for this evaluation. Secondly, the devastating message in this evaluation. And thirdly, the fatal outcome of this evaluation. The events of our text took place in the year 538 BC. This is some 70 years after the first wave of Jews were taken captive to Babylon. Belshazzar, king of Babylon, was hosting a magnificent banquet in his palace. There were some 1,000 nobles and princes in attendance, not to mention his wives and his many concubines. Now, what the occasion was, we don't know. All we know is that it was a party, and it was some party. The wine flowed freely. The palace rocked with the sound of music, laughter, singing. Everyone was having a great time, especially Belshazzar. Our text informs us in verse 1 that he drank wine before the 1,000. Now, that suggests that Belshazzar was showing off. It may well be that during the banquet, Belshazzar, in a drunken stupor, declared that he could outdrink any man. And now to prove it, he drank before them all. He drank, and he drank, and he drank, much to the delight of his guests. And then Belshazzar, who was well on his way to getting drunk, had an idea. He remembered that some 70 years earlier, his father, technically his grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar, had taken some golden cups from the Temple of Solomon, cups that had been dedicated to Yahweh, the God of the Jews. And Belshazzar thought, wouldn't it be fun, not to mention a little daring, to drink to the gods of the Babylonians using these same cups? That would surely liven up the party, he thought. And so Belshazzar commanded the cups to be brought. A few minutes later, the cups were brought into the banquet room. One by one, the servants of Belshazzar filled the cups. Then they proceeded to distribute them to the guests. When all the cups had been distributed, Belshazzar stood up and proposed a toast to the gods of the Babylonians. And we read in verse 4, they drank wine and praise the gods of gold and silver, bronze and iron, wood and stone. Now, needless to say, by taking cups that had been dedicated to the service of God and using them to toast the gods of the Babylonians, Belshazzar committed a very serious act of sacrilege. What is more, he openly defied the God of Israel. He acted as though the God of Israel did not exist, and then dared him to do something about it. My friends, have you ever done the same? But to be sure, most of us have never done anything like what Belshazzar has done. We've never committed an actual act of sacrilege. And even if we have, we've never done it in the same way that Belshazzar did. But have you ever openly defied the God of Israel? Have you ever acted as though he did not exist? We do that in several ways. We act as though God did not exist when we refuse to repent and be converted. And again, this past year, the call to faith and repentance has gone out time and time again. Have you paid heed to that call? Have you repented? Have you believed? If not, you're acting as though God did not exist. But we act as though God did not exist every time we sin. Look back on the year that has gone by. Child of God, consider the many times that you have sinned against God. Consider all of the things that you said and you did that were contrary to His law. Was everything that you said and did pleasing to the Lord? Were you always faithful to your calling to live to the glory of God in all things? If not, then you acted as though God did not exist. Now, it goes without saying that God does not take that lightly. You see, no one likes to be ignored, least of all God. No one likes to be treated as though he or she did not exist or did not matter, least of all God. Nor will he allow such defiance to go unpunished. And that brings us to our second point. Shortly after Belshazzar and his guests committed their act of sacrilege, something very strange happened. Suddenly, out of nowhere, it seems, a hand appeared before the lampstand, presumably in order to cast a large shadow on the wall so that everyone could see it. And the hand proceeded to write something on the wall. It was only four words, written in Aramaic, a form of Hebrew, the common language of the Jewish people. And the words were, "Mene, mene, tekel, upherson." And then, as suddenly as it appeared, the hand vanished. Now, needless to say, Belshazzar, and probably everyone else in the room that night, was scared out of his wits. We read in verse 6, "Then the king's countenance changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his hips were loosened, and his knees knocked against each other." In an instant, the stupor of Belshazzar's drunkenness left him, and he began to shake and to tremble. What were these strange words? What did they mean? Was it a message? Belshazzar did not know. And so he summoned all of the astrologers and soothsayers of the land, and he promised that whoever could decipher the message would receive a great reward. He would clothe him in purple, the clothing of kings. He would put a chain of gold around his neck and make him the third ruler in the kingdom. Well, as it turned out, no one could decipher the message. Now, why they could not do so is not clear. Some have suggested that the words were written vertically and without vowels. Others have suggested that the words represented some kind of ideogram. Still others have argued that the men were able to read the words since they were written in Aramaic, which was a known language, but they were not able to understand the meaning, probably because they could be read either as nouns or as verbs. Well, whatever the case, no one could decipher the words. And as a result, we read in verse 9, "Then King Belshazzar was greatly troubled. His countenance was changed, and his lords were astonished." Well, at that moment, the queen entered into the banquet hall. Now, most likely, this was not the king's wife, but the king's mother, or even grandmother. And that's because in verse 2, it says that the king's wives were present at the banquet, whereas the queen is said to have come into the banquet house, implying that she was not present. Whatever the case, the queen had heard about what had happened, and she proceeded to offer Belshazzar some advice. She remembered that during the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, there was a man by the name of Daniel who had the ability to interpret dreams. In fact, she said he was so good at it that Nebuchadnezzar made him the chief of the astrologers, magicians, and soothsayers. "Let the king summon him," she advised. "He will be able to decipher the meaning of the words." Well, not knowing what else to do, Belshazzar decided to take her advice and commanded that Daniel be brought to him. Now, by this time, Daniel was a very old man, probably well into his 80s. Evidently, he was no longer employed by the king and had long been forgotten. He must have been rather surprised, therefore, to receive a summons to appear before the king. He had not been in the royal palace for many years. But Daniel went, trusting that the Lord would give him the words to speak. Well, when Daniel arrived at the palace, Belshazzar greeted him warmly. He told him that he had heard the Spirit of God, or the Spirit of the gods, we could also translate, was in him, and that he possessed light and understanding and excellent wisdom. He then proceeded to inform him that the astrologers and wise men were not able to decipher the writing on the wall. And then he repeated his earlier offer, that if Daniel could tell him the meaning of the words on the wall, he would clothe him in purple, put a chain of gold around his neck, and make him the third ruler in the kingdom. Surprisingly, however, Daniel refused the king's offer. Why did he refuse? Well, most likely because Daniel knew that his ability to decipher the words did not come from himself, but from God. For Daniel to take the reward would be to take the glory from God, which is something that he would never, ever do. Daniel refused, therefore, the reward. But he agreed to tell the king the meaning of the words anyway, if only so that God could get the glory. Before he did so, Daniel gave the king a short history lesson. He reminded the king of his grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar, whom he knew personally. He reminded him that God had raised Nebuchadnezzar up to be one of the most powerful rulers on earth. But when he became proud, God humbled him. He became mad, and he lived for several years out in the field, eating grass and sleeping outdoors. This lasted until Nebuchadnezzar acknowledged the supremacy of God, that the Most High God of Israel rules in the kingdom of men, and that he appoints over it whomsoever he will. Then Daniel came to the point. He accused Belshazzar of committing the same sin as his grandfather Nebuchadnezzar. Like his grandfather Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar was proud and arrogant. And he demonstrated that by desecrating the vessels of the temple. And now, as punishment for his sin, God had come in the form of a finger and written his divine sentence against him. Following this, Daniel proceeded to tell the king what the words meant. He began with the word mene, which is from the verb to number. And this was interpreted by Daniel to mean that God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. And he repeated, and this word was repeated probably to emphasize that this will take place shortly. Or perhaps it was repeated only for the sake of emphasis. Whatever the case, that was the meaning. Then Daniel came to the word tekel. And this is taken from the verb to weigh. Daniel interpreted this to mean you are weighed in the balances and found wanting. Then there's the word peres, from the verb to part or to divide. And this was interpreted to mean your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Since the word peres is the singular of parson, which sounds like the Aramaic word for Persia. Daniel here informs Belshazzar that God had weighed him and his kingdom in the balance of his righteousness and had found him wanting. Literally, he was found to be too light, empty, deficient. Oh, to be sure, he had riches and fame and power. He had everything that a man could desire, but in God's eyes, he was light, empty, and deficient. Why? Because he did not know God, much less serve him. He lived for himself and this world and the things of this world. And as a result, God said that his kingdom would be taken away. It would be divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Well, what lesson is there here for us? We've come to the end of another year. What do you and I have to show for it? What would God say if he evaluated your and my life today? What if he took us and weighed us in the balance? What would be the outcome? Would we, like Belshazzar, also come out too light? Would God say also of us, your life is empty and vain because God is not in it? Oh, maybe someone says, well, God is in my life. I go to church every Sunday. I tithe a portion of my income. I try to live a Christian life. I try to be good and kind to other people. Well, that all may be so. But is God your number one priority in life? Are you more interested in what gives pleasure to God than what gives pleasure to yourself? Look back on this past year. Did you really love God with all of your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength? And did that manifest itself in every aspect of your life? Did you live for him and for his glory in everything that you did and said and thought? Oh, must we not confess that we didn't do this? For that reason, are we really any better than Belshazzar? Are we not also too light? Oh yes, we are, my friends, and that is a serious matter. For if we are too light, then we are not acceptable to God, and then we will also perish in his wrath and condemnation. And that is also what happened to Belshazzar, which brings us to our third and final point. Daniel had just finished deciphering the meaning of the words on the wall. And I imagine for a few seconds afterwards there was an awkward silence. Belshazzar's days were numbered. His kingdom would be given to the Medes and the Persians. No one quite knew what to say, including Belshazzar himself. And then after what must have seemed like an eternity, Belshazzar broke the silence. We don't know what he said or what he did. Perhaps he laughed nervously and slapped Daniel on the back as if it was all a big joke. We don't know. Whatever the case, even if he believed Daniel's prophecy, he certainly didn't show it. As a king, Belshazzar had to remain firm and steadfast at all times, especially in front of his princes. He had a kingdom to look after. He had an empire to care for. He had to inspire confidence. One sign of weakness would send panic throughout the kingdom. And so he played along. And then, remembering his promise, he proceeded to take a purple robe and put it on Daniel. He then put a chain of gold about his neck, and he made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. Most likely the banquet hall erupted in cheers and laughter, and everyone raised a toast to Daniel, the great wise man, the great interpreter of dreams and visions, and everyone continued to party on. Now at this point, the question is sometimes asked, why did Daniel accept the reward when earlier he had refused it? Well, there's two possible reasons for this. First of all, Daniel knew that the reward was worthless because in a few hours Belshazzar would be dead and the kingdom would fall into the hands of the Medes and the Persians. What difference would it make if he accepted it? Secondly, Daniel had made his point. To refuse the king's reward would have been an insult and an affront to the king of Babylon. And so Daniel accepted it. Well, as it turned out, Daniel's prophecy came true. In fact, it came true that very night. That very night, the Medes and the Persians, under King Darius, invaded the city of Babylon and took Belshazzar's life, just as Daniel had said. Now, my friends, what can we learn from this? We learn that God takes his honor very, very seriously. Those who defy the God of Israel and fail to glorify him will most certainly be punished. Now, they may not be punished in the same way as Belshazzar, but they will be punished, either in this life or in the next. And that is true also for us. If we too do not glorify God in every aspect of our lives, if we defy him and fail to give to him the honor that his name is due, then God's wrath abides on us as well. Well, where does that leave us then? Well, it leaves us without hope, at least in and of ourselves it does. There's no way we can ever live the way that God requires us to live. It's impossible. The reason is because we're sinners. As sinners, our natural tendency is to do our own thing and to go our own way. And we do, even after we've been converted. Well, but thanks be to God, there is one who did. And he is the Lord Jesus Christ. Like Belshazzar, he too was weighed in the balance. But unlike Belshazzar, he was not found wanting, for he kept the law of God perfectly. And he did everything that you and I are not able to do. He earned for us the righteousness that we need in order to stand before a holy God and live. And when we believe on his name, his righteousness becomes ours, such that we can stand before God and live to all eternity. Yes, in Christ We can be weighed in the balance and found not wanting on the basis of the righteousness of Christ Jesus our Lord. And my friends, that gives us hope. That means we do not have to do anything. Christ has done it all. All we have to do is repent and believe and embrace Him as our Lord and Savior and King. Well, have you done that today? Today is the last day, the last Sunday of the year 2019. Do not enter this new year without Him. Like Belshazzar, you could die this very night. And then what? You'll be weighed in the balance and found wanting. And then, like Belshazzar, you will be cast into outer darkness where there is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Ah, but my friend, today the Lord still invites sinners to come to Him. The gates of heaven are still wide open. Oh, may God grant that you may enter them now before they close forever. Repent and believe before it is too late, and the promise of the gospel is that you shall be saved. The Lord evaluated Belshazzar. The Lord also comes to us today, and He asks us to evaluate ourselves in the light of His word, also of this passage. Have you done so? What is the result? Are you found wanting? Oh, do not seek to make up for your lack in and of yourself. Seek it only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who look to Him will never be disappointed. They shall find in Him everything that they need, and they shall live before His face and glorify His name forever and ever. Amen. We always appreciate hearing from our listeners. If you were blessed by or have a comment on the message you have heard today, won't you please take a moment and let us know? Our mailing address is Banner of Truth, 3386 Mount Lehman Road. Lehman is spelled L-E-H-M-A-N, and that's in Abbotsford, British Columbia, V4X2M9. Or you can give me a call at 778-982-9102. And please remember to include the call letters of this station. If you would like to listen to the message you have just heard again, or if you would like more information about our program, including how to contact us and how to listen to other messages on this program, please visit our website at Banner of Truth Radio. That's all one word, banneroftruthradio.com. Support for this program is provided by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. If you would like more information about our churches, including who we are, what we believe, and where you can find a church nearest you, please visit our denominational website at www.frcna.org. Your financial support for this program is welcome and deeply appreciated. If the Lord has placed in your heart a desire to help us offset the costs of broadcasting this program on this station, you can send us a check in any amount. Again, our mailing address is 3386 Mount Lehman Road, Abbotsford, British Columbia, V4X2M9. Or you can visit the donation section of our webpage. Thank you for listening. May the Lord grant you all a blessed new year. Now, until next week, may the Lord be with you all.